For mandamus, you're going to look first to Rule 52. Rule 52 applies to original proceedings in the Supreme Court and the Courts of Appeals, but it's also incorporated into proceedings before the Court of Criminal Appeals in Texas Rule of Procedure 72.2, which holds if the case is set, it will be disposed of according to Rule 52.8. So even if you don't have to follow Rule 52, it's a good idea. It has practical benefits because it will help ensure that your pleadings and the record are adequate, which are both very important, of course, on mandamus. An original appellate proceeding seeking extraordinary relief, such as a writ of mandamus, is commenced by filing a petition with the clerk of the appropriate appellate court. And the petition should be captioned in re, name of relator. If you file in the Court of Criminal Appeals, there's an additional requirement not in present in the Courts of Appeals, which is that you have to file a motion for leave to file. And so in the Court of Criminal Appeals, if there's no merit to the petition, they may simply deny the motion for leave to file. There's also a special terminology for the parties. The party that's seeking relief is the relator. The person who relief is sought against, whether it's a judge, court, tribunal, officer, or another person, is called the respondent. And the person whose interest would be directly affected by the relief sought is the real party in interest and is a party to the case. So this can result in some sort of interesting positions. If you're the real party at interest, sometimes you're asked to respond and to talk about an act that you may not have encouraged or asked the trial court to do, or even one in which your client doesn't have any particular stake in the outcome, but you're asked to assist the court and help deciding the matter as a real party in interest. Just as in appellate briefing, there are required sections and content for the petition for mandamus, and these are spelled out in the rule. I'm not going to go through every single requirement of the petition for mandamus, but I'm going to try to highlight some areas where there are differences from appeal to kind of help you out when it comes to writs of mandamus. So the petition must state, without argument, the basis of the court's jurisdiction. And this next slide is mainly going to be a reference if you come back to it later. It can help you find the basis of the jurisdiction of the court and the issue that you're coming to. But needless to say, jurisdiction is extremely important. You need to be sure that you're going to a court that has the power to do what you want it to do, and you need to spell out very specifically in your petition why the court can give you the relief that you want. So in Texas Government Code 21.001, there's sort of a catch-all and says, a court has all powers necessary for the exercise of its jurisdiction and the enforcement of its lawful orders, including authority to issue the writs and orders necessary or proper in aid of its jurisdiction. Specific to district courts, Texas Government Code 24.011 provides that a judge of a district court may grant writs of mandamus necessary to the enforcement of the court's jurisdiction. And with regard to the courts of appeals, Texas Government Code 22.221 holds that each court of appeals may issue a writ of mandamus and all other writs necessary to enforce the jurisdiction of the court. So the courts of appeals can issue mandamus against the judge of a district, statutory court, statutory probate court, or county court within the court of appeals district. And of course, in all criminal law matters, the Court of Criminal Appeals has the power to issue the writ of mandamus. So it could come about that both the Court of Appeals and the Court of Criminal Appeals have jurisdiction over the issue involved in the writ of mandamus. And so the question is, should you file in the Court of Criminal Appeals or the Court of Appeals? And the rule basically is the petition should be presented first to the Court of Appeals unless there's a compelling reason not to do so. So what would be a compelling reason not to do so? This was addressed in the case In re Best. And in that case, the Court of Criminal Appeals stated, relator has not sought extraordinary relief in the Court of Appeals. We agree with relator, however, that there are compelling reasons not to have presented his petition of mandamus to the Court of Appeals. First, it is combined with the writ of prohibition over which the Court of Appeals lack original jurisdiction other than to enforce their jurisdiction. And second, several of the cases involved in this litigation are capital murder cases in which the state has not waived the death penalty. We agree it's appropriate to present the mandamus and prohibition matters first in this court. So obviously that's a very concrete and specific example, but it kind of gives you the idea, only skip the Court of Appeals if you have a very specific and articulable reason, like in this case, and if you do have such a reason, definitely present it in your petition. So what happens if you seek mandamus in the Court of Appeals and you don't get relief? Can you then go to the Court of Criminal Appeals? Yes. And to decide whether a relator is entitled to mandamus relief after a denial by an intermediate court, the Court of Criminal Appeals decides the issue de novo. One practical aspect that differs on mandamus is that there's a certification requirement for the petition. And so on mandamus, the person filing the petition must certify that he or she has reviewed the petition and concluded that every factual statement in the petition is supported by competent evidence included in the appendix and record. So the petition must also contain an appendix, and it has certain necessary contents that you can get from the rule, and it also has to be bookmarked electronically. As a party, you don't automatically have to respond to a petition for mandamus. The court cannot grant relief without requesting a response. So you don't need to worry that if you don't respond, the court's going to grant relief without giving you a chance to state your position. And in my experience, just because you're asked to respond doesn't necessarily mean that the court is going to grant relief. In many cases, your response can be very helpful to the court. You may be able to point out omissions or errors in the record, or even a lack of jurisdiction by the court.